The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Oh, it is a Thursday. We love Thursdays around here because that's when we hang out with Howie Klein. Yes, Howie Klein, the man behind the Blue America Pack, who finds really great progressive candidates and raises money for them, helps get them elected. That's what it's all about. Howie, of course, you can always find at downwithtyranny.com. It's where he blogs. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that we're still in primary season. Right. And there are a number of the sound is scratchy again. God damn it. All right. Hold on. Bear with me for 2 seconds. I'm going to try something. We're going to go dead for a moment. So I'm sorry, Progressive Voices and everybody, just bear with me. It's going to take about 10 seconds, but I'm going to try to reset the sound. Hold on. It was scratchy again. Oh, and Diane told me it was scratchy. Okay, so hopefully it's all going to work now. Anyway, here we go. We'll start over again. I hope we're no longer scratchy. I don't even know what the problem is, but it is what it is. This is welcome to my life. All right. So what I started to say was, Diane, do let me know if it's still scratchy. So there are a number of sort of upstart candidates, progressive challengers, who I think people had tried to write off early on, but they're all making noise. There's a House race that we need to know about, and we'll get into this when Howie joins us. But Elliot Engel is being challenged by a man named Jamal Bowman. And he's getting lots of endorsements from progressives. Okay, so that's happening. Then we've got a couple of Senate races. One of them in Kentucky, where you know the Chuck Schumer and those conservadems in leadership would just give the nomination to Amy McGrath. Amy McGrath, who calls herself a Trump Democrat. Seriously. Well, screw Amy McGrath, because there's a really good candidate in Kentucky running against her for the Democratic nomination. And his name is Charles Booker. And guess what? He's getting tons of endorsements from people that you wouldn't expect. I just got an email today from Tom Steyer endorsing Charles Booker in Kentucky for the Democratic nomination. And of course, in Colorado, you don't have to settle for Fracken Looper. Because we have Andrew Romanoff, and Andrew Romanoff is going to join me and Howie Klein today. So stick with us, okay? Because there's good news there. Also good news. I should have led with this, but the Supreme Court, I told you on Monday when they gave us a couple of decisions, including the one that says, LGBTQ people are covered under the Civil Rights Act. You can't fire someone just because they're gay or trans. That's really good news. And I went down the whole litany of opinions, of decisions that they still have to give us before the end of June. But they only gave us one today, but it was a biggie. The Supreme Court this morning rejected Donald Trump's attempt to end the DACA program. DACA, of course, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. The DACA kids, most of whom are no longer kids, call themselves Dreamers. Yeah. Well, the Dreamers were handed a major victory. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's Democratic appointees in a 5-4 decision that found that the Trump administration's move to end DACA lacked a sound legal basis. Yes, Donald Trump was smacked down by the Supreme Court because he didn't follow the correct procedures to repeal it. So it is a win But it's not a grand slam by any means. The decision does not prevent future moves to end DACA. Again, it was not allowed to end on a procedural basis. So while it doesn't prevent future moves to end DACA, the relatively good news is that it's June, and it's an election year. And it seems highly unlikely that this administration will be able to put into place a new framework to end DACA before November's presidential election. So there's that. And it is great news. So, you know, I like to start the show with something funny, something humorous. And really today, I wanted to do something around the Dreamers. And I couldn't find a good current. Current being the operative word here, a good current song parody or comedy bit, especially since we just got the ruling today. So we're going to go back into the archives and pull out one from 2017. Yes, because Randy Rainbow is timeless. So with no further ado, here is Randy Rainbow and a song called DACA Shame. All right, I'm laughing already. Take it away, Randy Rainbow. Oh no, hold on.
Presidential advisor Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne, great to have you. I haven't seen you in a while. But then again, I haven't stood in my bathroom with the lights off and said your name three times into my mirror. Casey, let's talk about the future of DACA, which for those viewers who are not familiar stands for Donald's a cold-hearted ass face.
Well, a few things on DACA. The Congress had all year to act. A legislative fix or some clarity would be helpful.
If the president decides to end the policy, it could potentially sabotage the futures of many hardworking dreamers, as well as deport close to a million undocumented immigrants, not to mention the devastating toll it would take on my sex life.
The president has expressed sympathy for many of the so-called dreamers, what they refer to themselves as dreamers.
Kellyanne, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are about to go to a live feed from inside the hollow tree where Jeff Sessions makes the cookies. Let's see what she has to say.
Good morning. I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded.
And there you have it. Kellyanne, when Donald Trump was elected, he said that he had a big heart and that anyone vulnerable to a change of this nature should rest easy. What the hell happened to that crap?
Well, that's what leaders do, though. Leaders listen to many different insights and inputs and contrasting opinions. The president surrounds himself with people of that nature. But at the same time, I want to remind you, he has never backed down from the fact that this is a country, it's a nation.
DACA shame, Donald. DACA shame. Thank you for all the stress and strain. Can't you be half as generous as you've been with the KKK and white supremacists? DACA shame, put them on a plane back to from whence they never came. How the f*** can you sleep at night knowing like you do nothing you do is right? DACA shame, a DACA shame. Hey, how you doing? Go f*** yourself, darling. DACA shame. F*** you for causing so much pain. Just behold all the lies you've told and this anarchy caused by your cowardly DACA shame. Yeah. DACA shame. You've got a little dick of DACA shame. And hey girl, you should feel the same. Shut your face, you're a big disgrace. Stop your slandering, pandering to your face.
Oh yeah.
DACA shame. DACA shame, your DACA game. You all, oh, you're all to blame. This guy,
Dame. And what's his name? Docker Shame, Docker Shame, Docker Shame, Docker Shame, darling, you're insane. Docker Shame, Docker Shame.
I do have a big heart.
Go back to Queens.
Oh, yeah. Go back to Queens. That was a perfect ending to that. Again, Randy Rainbow from the archives. That one was back from 2017, shortly after, unfortunately, Trump began occupying the Oval Office. Randy Rainbow has been making brilliant song parodies that whole time. And yeah, what a perfect selection for today. So somebody in the chat room, and I lost who it was. Let me see if I can find... Gorilla in the Mist asked, hello, Nicole Sandler, think Trump will talk bad about the Supreme Court? Well, Gorilla, funny you should ask, because shortly after the court announced that DACA was not being repealed, Donald Trump took to the Twitter machine. Now, he's probably sitting on the toilet, because I think that's where he spends most of his time. But at 11:08 this morning, Trump tweeted, these horrible and politically charged decisions coming out of the Supreme Court are shotgun blasts into the face of people that are proud to call themselves Republicans or conservatives. We need more justices or we will lose our Second Amendment and everything else. Vote Trump 2020. And then 2 minutes later at 11:10, Trump tweeted, do you get the impression that the Supreme Court doesn't like me? Nobody likes you, Donald Trump. Nobody likes you. As the song went from when we were kids, nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. So you go eat worms. Big worms, fat worms. Oh, sorry, I get carried away sometimes. Just to show you how much John Bolton hates him. You know, John Bolton is now doing the rounds. I'm going to play for you. Hopefully this will work. A little bit of an interview that he did with ABC's Martha Raddatz. I guess that's going to air tonight. But here's where John Bolton said that Donald Trump is not fit for office and doesn't have the confidence to carry out the job. Okay, let's hear it in his own words. If it'll work, will it work? It won't work. All right. Nah. Okay, well, I'll tell you, that's what he said. And we'll hear more. We'll hear more from him and others. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's get to the news now, because Howie and Andrew Romanoff are coming up. So hit it, Beatles.
I read the news today, oh boy.
All right, so I already told you about the Supreme Court. Great news. And look, somebody got mad at me at a post. I said, who would have thought that the Supreme Court in 1 week would give us like 2 good days? On Monday, we got the news that you can't be fired from your job because of your sexual preference or sexual identity. That's huge. And today, the Dreamers are safe, at least for now, as long as we don't reelect Donald Trump. So it seems. But somebody gave me a little hard time because of that other ruling that they handed down on Monday that allows for a liquid natural gas pipeline to go under the Appalachian Trail. It sucks. But I also am a realist and know that we're not going to win them all. And I'll take DACA and civil rights for everybody over... one liquid natural gas pipeline. Again, baby steps. All right. In other news, in Georgia, we told you yesterday that the prosecutors filed a felony murder charge against the police officer, former Atlanta police officer, who shot and killed 27-year-old Rayshard Brooks in the Wendy's parking lot there. Well, let's see. What am I forgetting to tell you? Oh, I told you all this yesterday. I told you this yesterday. But now we find that a photo of the guy, the cop who shot him, kicking him while he was lying on the street after the shooting, and Brosnan, the other cop who was charged with assault and violation of his oath, I think. Also, and he turned himself in today. He actually, after Brooks went down, stood on his shoulders. What is wrong with these people? Neither of these men provided medical attention that's required under Atlanta policy. So, and this one I don't get. An unspecified number of Atlanta police officers failed to show up for work last night after the charges were announced. Seriously? They're protesting on behalf of allowing cops to murder somebody who is not threatening their lives? I don't understand it. I just really, really don't understand it. All right, so I mentioned the John Bolton book. I mean, that's everywhere right now. You can't get away from it. And I've got a litany of some of the stories that are in it. But the Justice Department yesterday asked a federal judge for an emergency order blocking publication of the book, arguing that it contains classified information. And this comes at, this is the DOJ action, came after the administration filed a civil suit against Bolton on Tuesday, targeting the proceeds of the book and asking a court to order him to delay its scheduled June 23rd release. Well, it was less than 24 hours after that that the Wall Street Journal published an excerpt of the memoir, and then lengthy accounts were also published by the New York Times and the Washington Post. Stephen Colbert held up a copy the other night. He has John Bolton coming on his show Tuesday night, where the book will officially be released Tuesday. And you know what? Sorry, Donald, you blew it. So, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. We know what's now what John Bolton should have testified to under oath, not only before Congress when they were holding the hearings, but also in the impeachment trial. And the reason he didn't do it was because he was holding out for a paycheck. So I will implore you, borrow a copy of the book. Reserve it from your library. Borrow it from maybe that leftover friend you had from college who was a Republican, but you know, you don't talk politics, but he bought the book. Borrow it from him. Don't give John Bolton any of your hard-earned money. We'll get all the details. Like these, we were bombarded yesterday and today with one allegation after another. So here are some of the charges that John Bolton made in the book, The Room Where It Happened. For instance, Donald Trump asked Chinese President Xi Jinping to buy American agriculture products to help him win re-election. Apparently, this is all Donald Trump has ever been concerned with, winning re-election. He stressed the importance of farmers and increased Chinese purchases of soybeans and wheat so that he can win in November. Here's another Bolton allegation. Trump thought it was okay for China to build concentration camps to house a million Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang and told that to President Xi. Yeah, sure, go ahead. That's a good idea. He also told the Chinese president, leader, Grand Poobah, that Americans want to change the Constitution to have him serve more than two terms. There's a technical term for that.
Bullshit.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he wants more than two terms. He's floated that idea on numerous occasions. Make no mistake, we don't want it. Trump asked somebody if Finland was part of Russia. It isn't. He also didn't know that the United Kingdom was a nuclear power. It is. And Trump claimed Venezuela was essentially part of the United States in order to justify military action there. It isn't, and you can't. There's more. I mean, it just keeps going and going, and we haven't even seen the book yet. Well, I haven't seen the book yet. Trump signaled to Turkish President Erdogan that he would intervene in a criminal case against a Turkish firm on their behalf once the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York was filled with his allies. It just gets better and better. And by better, I mean worse. You know what I'm saying. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, according to John Bolton, slipped Bolton a note during negotiations with North Korea saying the president was, quote, so full of shit. He later said there was, quote, zero possibility of success in negotiating with Kim. Pompeo listened into a call, allegedly, between Trump and the South Koreans and told Bolton that he was having a cardiac arrest in Saudi Arabia. Bolton said the call was a near-death experience. I'm not quite sure of the reference there, but okay. Trump was apparently fixated on getting Kim Jong-un a copy of Elton John's Rocket Man. He's a sick puppy. Trump tweeted his defense of the Saudis and the Jamal Khashoggi killing because he thought it would distract from Ivanka Trump using a private email server. By the way, Ivanka Trump uses a private email server. Just thought I'd throw that in there. And this was lovely. Trump said he thought journalists should be jailed and executed. It just doesn't stop. Oh, and this one might be my favorite yet. Trump thought having Jared Kushner deal with Mexico was the only way to stop the caravans. The caravans. Jared Kushner. I do want to read this book, but I will not buy it. I will not spend my hard-earned dollars on money to enrich John Bolton. I will buy Mary Trump's book. Mary Trump, Donnie's niece, the daughter of his late brother, Fred Trump Jr., who has no love lost for her uncle. That one I will buy. That one comes out, I think, the end of July. So we still have a little while to go on that one. All right. Few other things before we get Howie Klein and then, of course, Andrew Romanoff on the line. In Washington, D.C., both parties are working on police reform packages because the people have spoken. And so the Democrats in the Judiciary Committee, of course, the House is led by the Democrats. So the Democratic-led House Judiciary Committee passed a police reform bill late last night following nearly 12 hours of intense debate on the panel as they confronted questions about institutional racism and police brutality against Black Americans. That set this bill up to go for a vote before the full House next week. Of course, it was approved along party lines with all Republicans voting in opposition. The Democrats' plan would ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants, limit officers' immunity from prosecution, and establish a national database of police misconduct. But the Senate Republicans have their own police reform proposal, and the Democrats are trying to figure out what to do about it. Either shoot down the legislation next week and face charges of obstruction from the Republicans amid a national reckoning on race, or advance a bill that they say needs massive changes in order to meet the moment. So, same old, same old. But you notice that the Republicans will levy that charge against the Democrats. Meanwhile, every Republican on the House Judiciary Committee voted against the Democratic plan. Unreal. All right. Oh, I almost forgot. We need to take a quick break on the Progressive Voices Network to get some business taken care of. So we'll do that on Progressive Voices, and we'll be back in just a moment on the Nicole Sandler Show. Okay. And while we're still here, because we keep going when they go to commercials, I've got a few more news stories for you before we bring Howie on the line. So, I can't believe that I am reading this story in 2020. But here we go. Multiple nooses were found hanging from tree branches at a public park in Oakland, California. Oakland police are investigating the incident as a hate crime, you think? And this comes as a new report from the Equal Justice Initiative has revealed that white mobs and individuals lynched at least 2,000 more Black Americans than previously documented between 1877 and 1950. But let's bring it back to today, okay? Because 5 nooses were discovered in Oakland just in the last few days. And this comes on the heel of 2 hanging deaths in Southern California. Last week, a 24-year-old Black man named Robert Fuller was found dead, hanging in Palmdale. Originally, they the police said it was an alleged suicide, but the Department of Justice and the FBI are now reviewing the incident, as well as the hanging death of another black man, Malcolm Harsh, just 10 days earlier in San Bernardino County. And there's another weird twist to this story. Robert Fuller, who was found hanging last week, his half-brother, just yesterday, was killed in a deputy-involved shooting in Kern County, California, which is, you don't want to be in Kern County. That's like Bakersfield, and yeah, it's not a good place. But what the fuck is going on? In other news, Donald Trump is still planning to hold this huge rally in Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, against the advice and wishes of virtually every public health authority everywhere, including infectious disease specialist Dr. Michael Osterholm.
If I could put this into perspective, if all four Beatles were able to be back tonight in a large indoor area concert in a place like Tulsa, I wouldn't go, or I wouldn't want any of my loved ones to go there. That's how we have to understand this situation.
Okay, so you put it in that perspective? He wouldn't go if the Beatles were reuniting. That means that John Lennon and George Harrison come back from the dead. He still wouldn't go. Stay safe. Don't do it. But when asked if he's worried about the rally becoming a super spreader event, Donald Trump said, hell no.
The numbers are very minuscule compared to what it was. It's dying out.
It's dying out? No, it's not dying out. The number of Americans who have died from COVID-19 yesterday passed the number of U.S. service members who were killed in World War I. You get that? Yeah, the U.S. death toll from the coronavirus, according to Johns Hopkins University, now exceeds 117,000, almost 118,000. That was as of early this morning. And it was around 116,708 Americans died during World War I. But the coronavirus deaths, these occurred over just 4 months, while the World War I toll was spread out over more than a year. And I don't know how many times we have to say it, the coronavirus outbreak in the United States is far from over. The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington released a new projection suggesting that the number of U.S. COVID-19 deaths could exceed 200,000 by October. That's pretty stunning. All right. And one more quickie. Donald Trump's newly appointed CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media that oversees the Voice of America, Michael Pak, fired the heads of at least three outlets under his rule last night, raising concerns that he's a conservative filmmaker, that he would turn the media organizations into Donald Trump propaganda outlets. You think? I think that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness. All right. So, you know what time it is. This is the time of the week we get Howie Klein on the line. So let's wait no longer. Somebody mix up those dirty Debbies, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
I'm playing
grits.
It all off the same pot.
I love
pot.
Grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After
Hold
a
on.
Week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein, can you hear me now?
I can.
Yeah, you didn't hear
I was listening online.
Ah.
Someone sent me a link. Oh. And like, wow, there it is.
There it is. Yeah, you didn't
hear the whole last part of your show.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, so you know what I've been talking about. So you didn't hear the intro because I'm Andrew Romanoff is joining us today, and he's going to come in via video. So I had to move around how I bring you in, and so hopefully it'll all work. I never quite know. It's all kind of spit and chewing gum, you know. But we try anyway. I'm all excited about to talk to Andrew Romanoff. Did you hear the part where I talked about the three sort of upstart races? I think these are three that the progressives have a really good chance of winning. First of all, it looks like the Congressional Black Caucus and the House Democratic leadership is going all in on Elliot Engel, but everybody else is endorsing Jamal Bowman.
That Elliot Engel was black. Very few people knew.
Right.
I mean, people kind of thought that his opponent was black, but Elliot Engel, it turns out he's an albino. I don't know.
Could be, but you know, it is an issue of them circling the wagons to protect their own. This is the same, the same coalition that doesn't want primary challengers, and Jamal Bowman is a primary challenger. So that's in the House, where it's looking really good for him. In the Senate races,
there's been new primaries. New primary polls for Jamal that shows him quite 10 points ahead.
Oh wow, that's great. That's exciting. That's awesome. Yeah. So there's that. Now in the Senate, there are two such races.
Three.
Okay, because I see the big groundswell for Charles Booker over Amy McGrath, which obviously there's no contest. And I was shocked that when I did the news and I mentioned that Amy McGrath calls herself a Democrat for Trump, there were a lot of people in the chat room who had no idea. They did not know that.
Right, because I mean, it's kind of like a debatable point. That is a big debating point. It's better to explain what that was all about rather than to just say it.
Okay, what was it all about?
Well, she said some things that could be interpreted both ways. She's not outright saying I am a Democrat for Trump. She doesn't say that, but what she said was that the reason that Trump's program isn't getting through was because McConnell was too incompetent. So that's problematic enough. But it was sort of a lame way to try to appeal to Republicans and Republican leaning independents. And that's who she is. That's how she's trying to play it. And that isn't good. But she never actually came out and said, I am a Democrat for Trump.
Okay.
And Charles has been saying that, and she's flipping out over that, so he says it more.
Well, he's doing well. He's pulled in some really, really big endorsements in recent days. I mean, like everyone from Elizabeth Warren to I mentioned earlier, I got an email from Tom Steyer's office today. Tom Steyer is endorsing Charles Booker.
And Julian Castro as well.
Okay. So I know.
The thing about, a lot of people have endorsed him. Mm-hmm. It's great. AOC, Bernie,
yep, right.
Ayanna Pressley. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good, solid progressives have come on board, some late, some early. But the thing that about Elizabeth Warren and Bernie that I want to mention is that makes it different. When Elizabeth or Bernie endorses someone running in the House, there's no cost to them. For them to endorse someone running in the Senate who is not a Chuck Schumer candidate, and in fact who's running against a Chuck Schumer mm-hmm. candidate, that's very risky
that's
for them.
That's a big deal. Right.
Schumer is notoriously vindictive.
Yeah.
And he can certainly get even with them. There are things he'll be able to do to them for years if he wants to. So for Elizabeth and Bernie to step up and say that Charles Booker is the better candidate and that their supporters should support Charles Booker, That's a big deal. That's really a big deal.
That is a big deal. That's huge. Now, I know the third one, it's Andrew Romanoff over Hickenlooper. We're going to get to him in a second because Andrew Romanoff is standing by. Who's the third?
Let's bring him in. We don't need to hear from him.
All right, then let's bring him in. So this is the other race that I was talking about. Andrew Romanoff running for the Democratic nomination for Senate from the state of Colorado. Andrew Romanoff, so nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us today. Talk to us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Nicole.
Howie.
Hi, Howie. Bye.
Hey, Andrew.
Cool. I love it when things work because I never quite know if they will or not. Andrew Romanoff, you're getting a lot of buzz as well. In fact, for the things you bring to it, but there's also the other part, which is John Hickenlooper is having a lot of real problems. He's got some ethics problems, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He was the governor of Colorado, but Hick decided not only to break the state ethics law, but then to defy a subpoena to appear at his own hearing. So he was held in contempt, the first person ever held in contempt, in fact, by Colorado's Independent Ethics Commission. He's stumbled through our debates. He skipped 21 candidate forums. He doesn't seem to understand what Black Lives Matter means. And he was recently caught on video. The video itself is a few years old, but came out last week, comparing the life of a politician to that of a slave on a ship being forced to row and being whipped.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm running. That's the Democrat, by the way.
Yeah. That's John Hickenlooper, who was the governor, who ran for president, got no traction, insisted he would not be running for the Senate, but Chuck Schumer
insisted that he would make a bad senator.
Right, he did. He said, no, yes, I'm not going to run. I wouldn't be good at it. But Chuck Schumer, who knows better, said, oh, no, you're our guy?
Yeah, look, I mean, Chuck Schumer doesn't actually vote in Colorado. He just acts that way. And you're right. Hick told everybody that he would be a terrible senator, wasn't cut out for the job, didn't want to run. And apparently the National Party doesn't seem to care about those interests, or at least the Democratic Senate from the campaign committee. I'm getting a little feedback. I'm not sure why.
You broke up on us. Yeah, he was the Democratic what?
I was suggesting that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee doesn't particularly care, it appears at least, about your qualifications for the job.
Gotcha.
I wonder if I should call back in because there's a bit
you,
of
you want to try that? Okay, let's try that. I will.
Thanks.
Okay, so we will wait for Andrew Romanoff to come back. Yes, Howie.
I was going to say it's also possible that maybe because my line is a phone line, maybe that's screwing it up. And if you want to try it with me hanging up and just you continue on with Andrew, that would be okay.
Well, let's try it with the three of us. He's coming back on now. Hopefully we'll get him back here and hopefully the,
While he's coming back on,
yes.
There are some people who might not know who Hickenlooper is because they're not from Colorado and they don't know, but they probably will remember that there was a Democratic candidate widely called Frackenlooper. That's the same person.
Yes.
So if you know who Frackenlooper is, that's who we're talking about. Hickenlooper, of course, he was named Frackenlooper because unlike Democrats, he is in favor of fracking. And as the governor of Colorado, he was able to do a lot to push fracking. And there's a very famous, even iconic picture of him drinking fracking fluid to show that there's no problem with fracking at all.
Oh, my goodness. That's insane. All right. Andrew's back with us. Andrew, yeah. just to put a, to draw a contrast here, where do you stand on fracking?
I think we ought to end it. In fact, I've laid out a plan to shift our reliance from fossil fuels to renewable energy. I've endorsed the Green New Deal, which Mr. Hickenlooper and the Republican in this race, Cory Gardner, both oppose. I've signed a no fossil fuel money pledge. Hick and Gardner have taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from oil and gas executives and lobbyists throughout their career. And Howie knows this too, but Hick was not content simply to oppose our progressive agenda, like the Green New Deal and Medicare for All, which I support. He actually, when he was running for president and ridiculing Bernie Sanders, compared this agenda, in his words, this is John Hickenlooper speaking, you can look up the video, to the discredited ideas of Karl Marx and Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my God. Why? I mean, was he a popular governor? Why would Chuck Schumer? And I know it's hard to get in Chucky Schmucky's head, but why would Chuck Schumer push this guy on Colorado? It doesn't seem like he's the right guy, certainly for this time in history.
We certainly haven't encountered a lot of excitement for Hicks' campaign from anyone, including him. It's not just, by the way, he said he would be a bad senator. He's terrible at it. So, a couple thoughts here. One, Hicks started the race with a lot of name recognition. Not surprising because he was governor for 8 years, ran for president. But I also think, more to the point, he represents no threat to the corporate establishment in Washington. In fact, he parrots Republican talking points in defending this broken for-profit insurance system, in opposing the Green New Deal, demonizing progressives. So, in my mind, at least, we need much more progressive leadership if we're going to get anything done.
And Colorado is pretty progressive, isn't it? I mean, it's had its ups and downs, but now Jared Polis is the governor. He's certainly a step up from Hickenlooper. Colorado, when I think of Colorado these days, I mean, I used to think of Boulder and just I love the state. Now I think first in the nation to legalize marijuana. And it's done very well for the state. And Hickenlooper was opposed to that, wasn't he?
Oh, that's true. He was. You know, the state has made some shifts to the left over the years. We have not just a Democratic governor in Jared Polis, but now a Democratic attorney general, state treasurer, a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, Democratic Secretary of State. A majority of the House seats are Democratic. So when Hick told us last year, again, on camera, he said, Democrats don't need me to beat Cory Gardner. He was right. We don't. And now that he's broken the law, defied a subpoena, and been held in contempt, he actually represents a big risk, one that we can't afford to take. We have to win this seat if we're going to flip the Senate. I think Hick has made that job a lot tougher, essentially by writing Cory Gardner's ads for him. They're already on the air.
You're so right. I mean, this, it just makes no sense. And we talk about it all the time, but it's not funny anymore how Democrats have the great talent to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Cory Gardner is the most vulnerable senator up for re-election this year. It should be a slam dunk. Yet if Hickenlooper is the nominee, it's going to be a tough one because he is so challenged on so many fronts where Andrew Romanoff, you're well placed to go in there and beat him. I don't get what the party does. And Howie,
Schumer has been a real jerk about this. He's done all he can to try to make sure that the pollsters only poll will Hickenlooper beat Romanoff. They don't poll will Andrew beat Romanoff. So people, get the impression that it's like a fait accompli. And that, that is very, very misleading. And Schumer is doing that in every state with his candidates. He always gets the pollsters only to poll his candidates versus the Republican, never the progressive.
Well, and that's part of the problem. I mean, people don't pay as close attention as some of us do. And the way Schumer and the party positions it, they talk about this is a race between Hickenlooper and Gardner, just the same way they talk about Kentucky is between McConnell and McGrath. Well, no, it isn't. This is why I always stress we're still in the middle of primary season. So Andrew Romanoff, the primary in Colorado is June 30th. But there was actually in March? Was it a caucus? What happened where you beat Hickenlooper?
Yeah, that's right. The nominating process here is a little confusing. We had both a presidential primary in March and a caucus for all the other races. So I came out on top, beat Hick in the caucus process by almost 2-1. He then dropped out of the remainder of the process, which included county assemblies and a state convention, so that he could buy his way onto the ballot instead. He gathered enough signatures by paying people to circulate petitions and qualified by that route. And you're right, by the way, there is a primary. Democrats have a choice. In fact, Democratic and unaffiliated voters are both eligible to participate. They're voting now. We have a universal mail-in ballot. Ballots went out earlier this month. They're due in a little less than 2 weeks on June 30th. My platform, by the way, people can find at Andrew Romanoff.com. I led the Democrats here to our first majority in 30 years, became Speaker of the House, got recognized as one of the best legislative leaders in America. So I think voters deserve a chance to hear from both of us. They didn't get that chance for the first 9 months after Hick joined the race because he skipped out on most of our candidate forums. In fact, 21, if you can believe it, 21 debates came and went without any sign of Mr. Hick and Looper or any of, or even a surrogate. At first, he said he had scheduling conflicts.
For 21 debates?
Yeah, then that excuse didn't fly. So he said that he needed more sleep. That's what he told a reporter. I'm happy to accommodate him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, hey, Hick, you can sleep all you want. I pulled a piece of video news coverage from that night in March. And again, when I watched this today, it was so incongruous because you hear the party acting as if it's already a done deal that Hickenlooper's the nominee. And then I watched this coverage of the results from March. And here, let me just play this for you because it's very telling.
A big win this weekend for self-proclaimed underdog Andrew Romanoff. He topped the better-funded John Hickenlooper in Saturday's Colorado Democratic caucuses. Here are the latest statewide numbers. Romanoff with just over 54% of the votes. Hickenlooper with just over 30%. Now, Romanoff and Hickenlooper will battle again in the primary coming up in June. The two are vying for the chance to challenge Republican Senator Cory Gardner for his Senate seat. It will be one of the most watched Senate races in the upcoming election. Turning to campaign 2020.
Whoa, sorry about that. Yes, and it should be one of the, but it should be a no-brainer. So how is the Colorado press, Andrew Romanoff, are they being fair about this? Are they telling people that, yes, there's still a race going on here?
Well, they've been otherwise occupied. I mean, in fairness, our press corps has been skeletonized by the same forces that have really decimated print journalism across the country, and the presidential race, the impeachment saga, obviously the pandemic have consumed most of their attention. They are tuning in now, literally. So we had three televised debates in the last 2 weeks. Again, the first time Hick has been willing to answer a question from any of his opponents since he entered the race in August of last year. I just yesterday challenged him to another debate in Spanish, since I happen to speak Spanish. And I'm happy to provide a translator. Somebody pointed out he's struggling enough to answer questions in English, even yes or no questions. I'll just tell you this quick story. We had a forum where we got the questions in advance, and they said, look, we're going to ask you yes or no. Those are your choices, yes or no. And Hick said, I refuse. He said, I don't function that way. Life doesn't function that way. Government doesn't function that way. And the truth is, because I have some experience here, I spent 8 years in the State House, literally the least you have to do as a lawmaker is say yes or no. That's part of the job description. Right. When you get to vote on a bill, those are the only two choices. You can't find a button that says maybe. Right. So I think John Hick's performance throughout this primary has not inspired a lot of enthusiasm. I know he told us he'd be a terrible senator. I just didn't realize he would try so hard to prove it.
I'm amazed that he's still in this race. I'm amazed that this party is bending over backwards to support a guy who flat out said, I'd be a bad senator. I'm not going to run. And then was talked into it.
Being a good senator means raising lots and lots and lots of money. And Hickenlooper has been very, very successful about that, which brings me to a question I wanted to ask Andrew, although I know the answer to it. But a lot of people are always saying, oh, it's the last minute. What are they going to do with the money? Are they going to get it in time? Why should I donate to them now? What can they do between now and a week from Tuesday? And I was wondering if you could tell us, Andrew, what you would do with money that people contribute.
We're going to put the money into television ads. So we've raised enough now to pay our staff. And every dime we raise between now and June 30th is going on the air. Just to do the math here, every time we put a 30-second spot on TV once, it costs $500. So we're offering people, if you go to andrewromanoff.com/yes, you can adopt an ad for $500. Frankly, we're happy for any contributions we get. We don't take money from the fossil fuel industry or any of these other corporate interest groups. I should acknowledge, by the way, to Howie and Nicole, those groups, the insurance industry, the drug companies, the pharmaceutical companies, they're not actually offering. So we're not taking PAC money, but they have plenty of other preferences to choose from.
Gotcha. So, yeah, they're not, you don't have to turn it down because they're not coming to you with that, with their hands out with that money. Got it.
No, they know they're not going to find a puppet in me.
How about the other officials within Colorado, the other members of Congress? Are they staying neutral, or are they all, you know, siding with Schumer and doing the wrong thing here?
Well, I think at least two members of the congressional delegation, I guess, have signed on with Hick by my count. It hasn't exactly been a groundswell. We picked up endorsements from about 400 county commissioners, nice. Mayors, school board members, city council members, and legislators, along with a number of progressive organizations here in Colorado and across the country, like Our Revolution, Food and Water Watch, Bill McKibben, founded 350.org, mm-hmm. Wendell Potter, who's a
Love
leader
Wendell
in
Potter.
Medicare for All.
Yep.
And the group that really means the most to me, because they were among the earliest to sign on, is the Sunrise Movement, both here in Colorado and nationally. These young climate activists embraced our campaign from nearly the beginning. They are phone banking for me every week, along with other progressive candidates across the country. And they've been fearless. I mean, I tell them all the time, they've done more to tackle this existential threat than the politicians were paying in Washington.
And that, those are great people to have on your side. Now we need to motivate them. Well, they're already motivated. We need to mobilize them. That's the word I'm looking for. People need to vote. So early voting, I believe, starts in Colorado on the 22nd, if I have that correct.
People are already voting.
Oh, are they?
The ballots went out earlier this month.
The mail, are those the absentee ballots? The vote by mail?
Well, it's a universal mail-in system. So every single Democrat and unaffiliated voter got a ballot automatically.
I see. Oh, that's great. And that's how it should be. I'm all confused because everything changed with the pandemic. Let me ask you, how are things going in Colorado with the COVID-19? I mean, I'm in Florida where the numbers are just going through the roof. They're saying this is probably going to be the next, hot spot in the country. Lucky us. How's it going in Colorado?
Well, we're struggling like every place. The governor has started to relax the shutdown and begin a gradual reopening. I think all of us are fearful of a second wave that might take place in the fall. And we're not in a place here in Colorado or across the country yet to have the universal testing and tracing and isolation and treatment that we need. And obviously we don't have a vaccine yet. So it's a deep concern. I will say this, the case that we've been making for the last 16 months for universal single-payer healthcare system has become more persuasive now. I was just talking to some folks in one of our house parties last night. We're doing virtual events every day, every night, every weekend. And somebody said, you know, I was on the fence on this Medicare for All plan that you were promoting. She said to me, but I'm with you now. The estimates suggest, as you probably know, Nicole, as many as 43 million Americans may lose their employer-based health coverage this year, in part because they're losing their jobs.
That's right.
On top of the 72 million Americans who are already uninsured or underinsured. So tying your health coverage to a job was never a great idea, in my view. But during a pandemic, it's a disaster.
It's ridiculous. And I just saw the story of one man who was in the hospital for a number of weeks and came home and got a bill for $1.1 million. That's just inhumane. It's just not, that's not a civilized society that does that to its people. So if ever we needed Medicare for All, it's now. And Andrew Romanoff, that's one of your big issues. And you're on the, I was going to say the right side of everything, but you're on the left side of all these issues, right? Which is the correct side, I should say. Andrew, go ahead.
I feel pretty strongly. This is one of those moments. It's hard to see when you're in it, but I think a generation from now, we're going to look back at this as an inflection point in American history. And historians will decide whether we did enough or whether we simply tinkered around the edges. I mean, our campaign is built on, as Howie knows, a progressive platform around climate action, healthcare for all, economy that works for everyone, racial justice, social justice. And that's why I've been saying to audiences across the state, going back to normal isn't good enough. because normal wasn't working.
No.
When the gap between rich and poor was wider than any point since the Great Depression, and when African-American families sold only one-tenth the wealth on average of white families, that's business as usual. I don't want to go back to that.
No, I don't either. Let me ask you one last question. Oh, go ahead, Howie. Go.
I was going to say, I was going to ask Andrew, when you bring up these very positive forward positions, in that debate, for example, how does Hick respond? I mean, what does he say? I mean, does he say, no, I'm against it? I'm sure he doesn't. He can't.
That's a great question, Howie. And by and large, he just doesn't answer. I challenged him to three times now to sign the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge. The first he pretended like he didn't understand what it meant. And then he said he doesn't take money from PACs, but he ignored the part about fossil fuel executives and lobbyists. When it comes to health insurance, he defends, just like Cory Gardner, the same broken model we've got now and parrots the arguments of the insurance industry. He hasn't used the line about Joseph Stalin, maybe because my last name is Romanov, and he's just the reference to Russian history is too painful. I don't know. I don't get a sense that John has really brought a lot of conviction to his positions. Maybe they're just cobbled together in some basement in Washington or a polling center back in D.C. I don't know what drives him, to be perfectly candid. And I've known him for 20 years. I should also say this. I mentioned this at
our phone banking for you. Is that something
Wait, Howie just asked if our listeners can do phone banking for you. You guys were talking about each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to andrewromanoff.com, andrewromanoff.com, there's a tab to get involved. You can phone or text. I personally texted several hundred thousand voters over the last 3 months, just having conversations one at a time. There's an app for that. And as I mentioned, we're doing phone banks every night as well. That would be hugely helpful. It's not just the contributions we're asking for. And I'm glad Howie pointed this out. It's volunteers. There's no way we're going to raise as much money as Hick and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee are plowing into his campaign. So we need more people. That's the secret of our success. Not such a secret. We're trying to show that a grassroots, people-powered, PAC-free retail campaign can compete and win.
One other thing that I was going to say, I like the idea of phone banking. And again, go to andrewromanoff.com. I'll have links on my blog where I post the show. But well,
you don't have to be from Colorado to do that. No, you can do that from anywhere in the country.
Right. But I want people to call. Everybody's got friends in Colorado, right? Anybody listening who knows people in Colorado, call them. Just check. It's a good thing to do anyway. Check in, make sure they're okay. And tell them, make sure they know about Andrew Romanoff. Make sure they know who John Hickenlooper is and that the primary is coming up June 30th. I think just with everything else going on between the damn virus and the insanity from Donald Trump and the police brutality and the protests and everything else, obviously we're all scattered. So people need to know that this primary day is coming up on June 30th and that there's an alternative, that a really good alternative. So make those phone calls, please. And you can share this interview. Yeah.
I really appreciate your help, Nicole. And I want to say thanks to Howie as well. People are voting as we speak. So if you got friends in Colorado, I hope you'll help out. If you want to volunteer or pitch in, that'd be terrific.